But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People will have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly body is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, the stars another, and stars differ.
Splendor.
So will it be with the resurrection of the dead? The body that is sown is perishable. It is dead. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth and is the heavenly man. Oh, sorry. And just as we have borne with the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. Declare you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Not does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the mortally. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortally, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not vain.
Thanks, Lottie. That all makes sense, doesn't it? Everyone's very clear. Yeah, good, good. Let me just get my things all set up. I'm Johnny. I'm a member here at Barney's, and yeah, really excited to be able to. Oh, that's very. Ooh, ooh. I learned how to use this thing like yesterday, so this is good. Yes, I'm Johnny. I'm one of the members here, and we've had two sermons already in 1 Corinthians. So if that all doesn't make sense and you haven't been here the last 2 weeks, that's okay. We'll recap a little bit. I was on a youth camp last week, doing some talks on 1 Corinthians 15, and God has been very kind in convincing me of the truth of the resurrection, and particularly at changing how I think about new creation and our bodies being raised eternally forever in real bodies. So I'm really excited to be able to talk about that. Acknowledging up front, it's a little bit like complicated area. There's people who've done lots of thinking, and some of what I say, like, I might change my mind on maybe later on, and people might change their mind and have different opinions. That's okay. If you do want to think more about it, these two books are great. Raised Forever by Rory Scheiner and Tim Keller's Hope in Times of Fear. This one's really simple, easy to read, so go for it. This one's a little bit more complicated, but really easy to apply to life. So, two books to read. Let me pray, and then we'll get into 1 Corinthians 15. Our dear Lord, you are raised forever. You are alive, and you are with us. Holy Spirit, please help us to understand the resurrection more clearly and give us joy as we read of your plans to make all things new. Amen. So the start of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gives us a gospel summary that Christ died according to the scriptures, that he was buried and then raised according to the scriptures, and then he appeared. And then Paul talks about Jesus as the first fruits, so that Christ is like the first fruit on the tree. He is the promise of more fruit to come, and he shows us what we'll be like. So he is raised in a body, and he promises that when he returns, we will be raised in bodies too. And then the natural question that you have after hearing that is, what will our bodies be like? And Paul very kindly gives us a few ideas now of how to think about our bodies at the resurrection of the dead. He uses images because it's something that is a bit like metaphorical and hard to understand. And the Bible gives us an answer to some of the things that are important, but it doesn't tell us everything. Okay, so the main image in this part is a tree and a seed. So I've got a quiz for us to start with. Oh, I'm meant to be clicking, sorry. I was like, oh, there's nothing coming up on the screen. There it is. There's the books. So we will rise like a tree. So I've got a quiz for us. Here we go. Oh, what tree does that turn into? An acorn tree? Is that a type of tree? A what? An oak tree. Yeah, nice. 1 point to Corin. All right, next one. A gum tree. Very good, Abby. All right. Oh, no. Rat. Did anyone know what tree that was? A willow tree. Yeah, that was like the only tricky one too. That's disappointing. Oh, come on. Oh, dear. A jacaranda. All right, last one. Here we go. A pine tree, yes, a pine tree. Great job, guys, well done. You did better than the youth on the camp, so good job. So Paul uses this image of a tree and a seed. Look at what he says, that someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed. But God gives to each seed its own body. He uses this picture, I think, because it's very simple, but it gives us some really clear ideas of what our bodies will look like and what our bodies will be like compared to our bodies now. So we're going to go through 3 points. So, oh, I think my slides are all the way around. But anyway, so first one, looks dead and then alive. So if you look at any of those seeds, the jacaranda pod or the pine nut, they don't look like they could turn into anything. My dog sits in the backyard and chews on jacaranda pods. They don't look like they're going to turn into anything. And yet, a seed is buried and then it's raised into something new. And Paul like really leans into this image, and I just think it's beautiful how he does it. Because he says, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. The body that is sown is perishable, and it is raised imperishable. Paul has looked at the world around him and he's seen that in the natural order of creation, things die, a seed goes into the ground, and then it's raised again into something new and beautiful. And he looks at that and says, that natural order of things is the same as what our bodies will be like when Jesus returns. Something that looks dead and wasting away can be raised into something new and different. I spent way too long looking at YouTube videos, time lapses of seeds turning into trees, go and look at them. They're so cool. They go for like 20 minutes, some of them. So I didn't put any in, but do it. It's just amazing to see how it actually happens, that a seed can kind of sprout and grow shoots and leaves. And then, yeah, amazing. Go and have a look at it. And the other thing that it tells us is that our bodies now are not completely replaced. Who we are is not replaced at new creation. It's perfected. That might seem like a little point, but Paul was quite clear through the whole of 1 Corinthians that it's wrong to think our spirits are like the important thing and our bodies don't matter. God looks at all of us and he says, all of you is corrupted and broken by death and sin, and all of you is going to be perfected and fulfilled in new creation. Look at the language in verse 53. It says, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. God doesn't throw out what he's created and start again. He says that he will perfect it. The seed is the same material as the tree. You can't say that the tree is not the same stuff as the seed, but it's the fulfillment and perfection of it. And it does look different. And the last thing is that each seed becomes something unique in that tree. Have a look at verse 41. It says, the sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in splendor. I think it's tricky as Christians when we think of the picture of being conformed to the image of Christ. Or even in verse 49, it says that we'll bear the image of the heavenly man. It could like make us think that we're all just going to be the exact same person in heaven. But God has created us individual. We sound different. We look different. We have different personalities. And that kind of is a little glimpse of God's glory in that he can create things differently. And in heaven, we're all going to be different, but in Christ's image. Star differs from star in splendor. We'll still have personalities. We'll still look different and sound different, but we will all give glory to God in that uniqueness. All of these different images, Roy Scheiner summarizes it in that book by saying that we'll be the most us we've ever been. Will be the most us we've ever been. This is my beautiful daughter, Noni, wherever she is. and I think, yeah, that's been something that I wasn't expecting as a parent, but it's just amazing to see that Noni is still Noni in both those photos, but she's quite different. She is wearing four bags in that second photo. And her personality has grown. She's saying words. She knows what food she likes. Like, all of these things have grown that she wasn't like that as a newborn baby. And so I think that's a helpful way for us to think about our resurrection bodies, what we'll be like in heaven. It's not a different person. But when we're properly grown up, when we're in heaven, we will be different, but we'll still be us. We'll be the most us we've ever been. So, unique, not the same. Oh, sorry. We look dead now, we'll be alive. We'll be perfected, not replaced. And unique, but not the same. The most us we've ever been. What else does Paul say? So he uses the image of Adam and Jesus to give us another kind of way of understanding it. And this was in the earlier part, so I'm not going to spend very long on it, but have a look at verse 22, if you've got your Bibles open. It says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all are made alive. And then in verse 44 to 49, he expands on that, saying, those who are have the image of Adam, as was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. As is the heavenly man, so are also those who are of heaven. The language is a little bit confusing, but I think a simple way of putting it is that in the old order of things, so Adam lived and died. And Christ follows that pattern. He is the last Adam. He also lives and dies. But then he is the first of the new creation because he's raised again. Lived, died, and then everyone after Jesus is promised lived, died, raised again in him. And then there's that confusing language about a spiritual body and a natural body. Again, Roy Scheiner, he puts this a bit more clearly for us, because I think my tendency is to look at spiritual and get caught up in the language and think spiritual means like, ooh, like out here somewhere, and natural is like physical. But Roy Scheiner says, no, they're both bodies. It's talking about what they run off. So this is my first car. I put the racing stripes on it myself. I bought it for $300 when I was 18, and it lasted for 3 months. So it's very good. This car was my first car, and my next car, Tesla. It's probably not, but maybe. Who knows? So my first car, it ran very poorly off of petrol. But a Tesla runs off electricity. Ooh. So this is kind of like the spiritual and natural body. They're both cars, yeah? They're both bodies, but they run off something different. At the moment, our bodies need food and water and sleep, and they're slowly deteriorating away. But our heavenly bodies, our new creation bodies, will be completely energized by God's Spirit. They won't need food and water. We might still get to have food, I hope. That'd be good. But we don't need it because we're going to be sustained eternally by God. Okay? So, our bodies will be alive, perfect, individual, glorious, spiritual, powerful, eternal, like Jesus. If you ever have anyone talking to you about what new creation bodies might be like, and they say, oh, we don't know anything about that, the Bible doesn't tell us anything, there is a lot now that you can say, hopefully. I feel like I've got a lot to say. And God's plan for our resurrection, it's part of his bigger plan for the whole of creation. So point two, death will die. Revelation 21 gives a really beautiful picture of what it looks like for death to die. I'm going to read it out for you. It'll be on the screen as well, but if you'd like to, you could close your eyes and listen to what this says and see if you can picture it. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. I am making everything new. You can open your eyes. This is what Paul's talking about when he says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where is death's victory? Where is death's sting? Currently, we live between Christ's resurrection, his defeat of death, and his return, the resurrection of our bodies. when death will be completely destroyed. Death still has power. We still get sick and injured. Loved ones still die. We still experience the brokenness of sin and death in the world. But our bodies, along with the whole creation, will have victory over death. This is the hope that Christians have, that God is going to come and dwell with his people. He's going to make our bodies new, and he's going to bring a whole new creation. He's going to redeem and restore the whole of creation. So a natural question that comes out, which is a bit of a sidetrack, is where do we go when we die? What happens when you die? It's a tricky question, but I found it helpful to just clarify language so that when we talk about new creation, we don't get confused with language about heaven. Okay, so very, very briefly and quickly, and if you want to read, yeah, in Tim Keller's book, he's got a chapter, Raised Forever also has a chapter that's a lot more deep, but the language the Bible uses about those who die, who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior now, they are not in new creation. That hasn't happened yet. So we're in this funny zone. Wow. Hope this isn't confusing. I made it, so thank you. I stole it, but yeah. So Christ has been raised, but he hasn't returned yet. So just like we live in this zone of current creation and new creation, we're between Christ's resurrection and his return. Those who die in Christ now are also still in that waiting zone. And the language the Bible uses is of sleep, but it's conscious. So people are sleeping, but they're with Christ and enjoying being with him. And then in Luke 23, Jesus says to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." You can read these passages a little in a bit more detail if you want to write them down or take a picture. But that's different to new creation. So being with Christ in heaven is different to new creation. Rory Scheiner puts it like this: the dead in Christ might be in a better place, but they're not in the best place. They also look forward to the resurrection of the dead. If that's confusing, I'm sorry, but come and talk to me afterwards. But I found it helpful to change my language from heaven, so thinking now that heaven is the place where those who are dead in Christ, they are with him now in heaven. But new creation is when Jesus returns and raises our bodies, creates all things new. Those are different things, and I found that helpful to think through. So, if Jesus really did die according to the scriptures, he was buried, he was raised according to the scriptures, and he promises that if you are in him, he will raise you from the dead and create all things new. If that is really going to happen, Paul says, "Dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Stand firm, labor in the Lord, knowing it is not in vain. I think the Corinthians seem to want to soften the gospel. They wanted to either say Christ didn't rise in a real body, or, oh, he did, but we won't rise in real bodies. They wanted to say our spirits are the things that matter, but our bodies aren't part of that, and so what we do doesn't matter. They wanted to soften the gospel to make it maybe more appealing or more easy to understand. And I think that that's our temptation as well. Being a Christian can be hard because it doesn't fit with what the people around us might say or might believe. And I know that I found it tempting to read philosophy books or read ethics and kind of say, oh yeah, that makes sense, and then try and fit what Christianity is into those things. But can I encourage you to stand firm, hold on to the gospel, and don't soften it. Don't fall into the trap of trying to make being a Christian normal or less weird by saying that Jesus didn't rise from the dead or that he won't return. This is the hope of Christianity, that Jesus will return in power as King, perfect creation. He will bring a new creation that is more real than our current world. So stand firm and labor in the Lord. There's so many things that this could mean, and one that is very clear is that knowing Christ, one that is very clear is that Paul wants others to know who Christ is. There's lots of things that Paul is laboring for, but the main thing is to show others who Christ is. That's the focus of our church this year, is inviting others in to see who Jesus is. And can I, really encourage you that if you truly believe that Jesus rose from the dead, inviting others in to see who he is not in vain. I really enjoy singing in church, and I've got two very clear memories of singing with Christian brothers and sisters around and being really full of joy, thinking, oh, I can't wait for new creation to be singing with everyone, and at the same time just being really sad, just thinking about the people that I care for that don't know Jesus yet. So imagine if your friend who doesn't know Jesus believed the gospel this year. That would be, just incredible. And if you aren't a Christian here, this all probably sounds very strange, so I acknowledge that up front. But I hope you're not offended that if your Christian friend is praying that you will come to know Jesus. We believe that knowing Jesus is the most satisfying thing in this world and the only assurance of life in the world to come. It's a sign that we care for you if we pray that you would know him too. So we're going to finish there, we're just going to spend 30 seconds. If you are a Christian, I want you to think of a friend that you care for and spend 30 seconds praying that they would be a new creation when Jesus returns. All right. Go for it. Let me finish in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we have a hope, a firm hope that you will return, that you will make all things new. Lord, please help us to stand firm and not soften the gospel. Please, through your Spirit, give us energy to labor in the Lord, knowing that you are real and true and you will return, and our labor is not in vain. Amen.